Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fastamai, good evening. Welcome to Update here on Manx Radio, where we'll bring you up to date with the main news of the day in under half an hour. So is the island's benefit system discouraging people from working? The Treasury Minister says absolutely not. We'll hear more in a few minutes. Also tonight, could the hurdles facing an offshore wind farm in Manx waters be overcome? The company behind the project believes the answer is a confident yes. A Manx historian releases a long-forgotten video which draws some similarities with how some people see things today, and an Isle of Man resident, better known to many as a star of Indiana Jones and the Lord of the Rings, has earned a glittering new honour. All that, the weather, the traffic and the travel, and if you'd like to get in touch, you can text the studio. It's 166 177. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Darren Fastamai.
Fastamai, the Treasury Minister insists the Isle of Man's benefit system doesn't disincentivise working. A recent written answer to a Tynwald question revealed 676 people are currently receiving allowances that total more than the minimum wage. An MHK wants to bring in new legislation that would block changes to Ramsey South Beach. Ramsey member Laurie Hooper says the town doesn't want development there.
I think there's lots of work going on that I think people would support, lots of areas of positive development that people would back, but just not this particular area, just not this particular site. And that message has come through loud and clear, I think, over the last couple of years.
The company behind plans to develop a wind farm in Manx waters says the representation made by the UK Ministry of Defence, which is objected to the proposals, is a normal technical part of the process. Ørsted wants to build 87 turbines 11 kilometres east of Mackold, but the Defence Infrastructure Organisation believes the structures would compromise the effective operation of the primary surveillance radar used at BAE Wharton Aerodrome. A special event tonight at the Mountain View Innovation Centre near Ramsey will see 80 charities receive their share of £1.8 million donation. AFD Software Limited, known as the Postcode People, is holding its annual postcode party and charity giveaway. In international news, Vladimir Putin says Russia's ready for serious talks about a peace deal with Ukraine. Speaking for the first time about Donald Trump's backed proposals, the Russian president called it a plan that could be a basis for an agreement in future. The UK Prime Minister's insisted Labour's kept to its manifesto despite announcing £26 billion of tax rises in the budget yesterday. Sir Keir Starmer says while the government's asking everyone to contribute, it's kept to a minimum. And Simon Cowell has admitted he has his blood rinsed and filtered in an attempt to stay young. The 66-year-old says the treatment at a wellness clinic has helped him age backwards. Those are the headlines. News next at 6.
Thanks very much indeed, Darren. That's quite an unusual one there. But anyway, the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So that fresh to strong southwest wind is going to increase strong to gale force overnight. Maximum temperatures will be around 14. Tomorrow, sunny intervals, just isolated showers, those showers possibly merging into longer spells of rain in the evening. Again, though, it's the winds to look out for. Strong to gale force, southwest winds, best temperatures tomorrow of 11. And just looking ahead to Saturday, largely cloudy, the risk of rain at times, and highest temperatures will be around 8 Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
Ambitions Recruitment Consultants, covering all business sectors in the Isle of Man. Register online or email your CV to info@ambitions.co.im or ring 614841. Ambitions, for all your recruitment needs, however big or small.
One Architectural Design Company has particular expertise in achieving planning approval for a wide variety of projects, from landmark buildings to spectacular homes. Talk to the experts at Ellis Brown and get your project off the ground. For excellence in design, search Ellis Brown.
Patricia Wild Opticians is celebrating over 30 years of friendly, caring service in Farm Hill and Ramsey. Visit us for professional eye care with stress-free parking. Phone Patricia Wild Opticians on 813 977.
Elevate Rubber Cover from Rubber Roof Shop for one-piece flat roofing systems. No joins, no leaks. We also line commercial box gutters in one piece up to 60 metres with a 20-year written warranty against leakage. Call Rubber Roof Shop on 49667.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio, 4.5 minutes past 5. A Derby woman has denied causing death by careless or inconsiderate driving. Lucia Delova of the Bretney appeared before magistrates at Douglas Courthouse this morning, as Sian Cowper reports.
The 43-year-old entered a not guilty plea to the charge. The road traffic collision took place on Tuesday the 6th of May at 10:35 a.m. at the junction of Glenmore Road and Portown Road in Peel. It resulted in the death of 61-year-old motorcyclist Stephen Hands. He succumbed to his injuries 3 days later on the 9th of May at Aintree Hospital. Magistrates retained jurisdiction of the case this morning after the prosecution described the incident as a momentary lapse of judgment, a catastrophic one. The court heard in interview, Drilova said, "I was not careless, I was cautious and I stopped." She was bailed until her next court appearance for a pre-trial review on the 20th of January 2026.
Sian Cowper reporting there. It's 5:05 past 5. Well, earlier this week, we heard how the UK Ministry of Defence had formally objected to plans to develop an offshore wind farm in Manx waters. So in response now, the company behind the Morvannon proposal has issued a statement saying it's confident those issues can be resolved. Lewis Foster has the details.
Ørsted wants to build 87 turbines 11 kilometres east of Mackled, but the Defence Infrastructure Organisation believes the structures would compromise the effective operation of the primary surveillance radar used at BAE Warton Aerodrome. It argues that the turbines would be detectable on the radar system and generate interference that air traffic controllers cannot manage safely. According to the objection, large offshore turbines can desensitise radar, creating shadowing effects and generate false aircraft returns. In response, Ørsted says a Ministry of Defence representation at this stage is a normal, technical part of the process. Potential radar impacts are routinely identified so that mitigation can be properly assessed, and the offshore wind sector has a range of proven solutions that protect both defence capability and renewable energy delivery. It claims many offshore projects have experienced similar issues which have been resolved, including the company's other wind farms in the Irish Sea, and it's confident it can find and agree the right technical solutions. The Council of Ministers accepted the wind farm application for examination in August. Ørsted says this phase is specifically designed to test evidence, address stakeholder input, and secure any necessary mitigations or conditions before a final decision is made.
Lewis Foster reporting there. So it's just coming up to 5:07, and the Treasury Minister insists the Isle of Man's benefits system does not discourage people from working. There was recently a written answer to a Timor question revealing 676 people were currently receiving allowances that total more than the minimum wage. And the answer works on the assumption that an adult working 37 hours a week could earn £400 in that time. But Dr. Alex Allenson says many of those cases have very specific needs that they need help with.
Those benefits actually often are compounded, and particularly when we're looking at those who are being paid more than £25,000 a year, often that's people with disabilities who need extra resources to pay for the adaptations, the extra cost of living that they have to pay to exist on our island. This is not a substitute for work, but it's dealing with specific issues. And when you look at some of the people involved, they may have disabilities or they may have children with disabilities. So when you add up the overall benefits, that may be over the £25,000, but that's a relatively small number of people, considering that we pay out about 40,000 benefits each year, predominantly pensions, but also looking for particularly for people who have increased cost of living to do with disabilities. So the headlines that were picked up have created a bit of concern amongst the community. We have people who have disabilities who feel that perhaps they're being vilified. The reality is, if you have a disability, the amount you have to spend to have the same or even getting close to the standard of living able-bodied people have is significantly higher. And that's where things like disability living allowance come in. That's where aspects in terms of income support come in to help those people be hopefully a fuller participant in our society. I absolutely agree with the premise that we have to make working pay. We should be trying to get as much as possible people off of benefits into work, into employment, not just because of benefit payments, but because we know that people's mental health is better when they're in a decent working environment with other people rather than feeling as though they're perhaps left aside on the scrap heap.
That's the Treasury Minister, Dr. Alex Allenson. He was on Man in Line at lunchtime with Andy. You can listen back to that full programme as a podcast at manxradio.com. Now, here's an interesting one. An historian and and broadcaster, has been reflecting on island life 60 years ago and drawing similarities with how some people see things today. Now, Charles Gard's latest video examines a BBC report from 1965, which resulted in complaints to the corporation's director general for its unfavourable portrayal of the island. Well, speaking to Phil Gorn, Charles says some of the comments made about government then are comparable to those expressed about the current administration.
I've managed to find some footage of that period done, for tourist board promotion. So obviously they're biased as well, but they made no bones about that. And yes, there were all the ships with thousands of barrels of herring at the same time as this Manx fisherman was telling us there were no men, no boats and no fish. Well, where was he fishing? I don't know. In the Moorock Park, I don't know.
Yes, it was certainly thought-provoking, the film, and I enjoyed watching it. I enjoyed the contrast between the establishment politicians and Ed Collister, who obviously was a bit of a thorn in the side of the established commissioners. He was far from happy at the idea that the ancient seat of the Dukes of Athol. It was an unusual setting for him to be. Mm. I mean, the reason he was in front of
the
Castle Mona was because that's where the casino was going to be. Mm. Having someone who was very clear that to declare that he was a socialist standing in front of this palace talking about how terrible it was to be undermining the ancient home of a lord of man who ended up whose family ended up selling us off to the British
point.
Crown.
I hadn't.
It did seem.
He was almost defending something that he would have found undefensible. But if I could just say, I do occasionally hear people today saying that the current government is the worst one they've ever heard of on the Isle of Man. But I think everybody thinks that because Ed Collister, was saying exactly the same thing in 65. He said it on TV, this is the worst government the Isle of Man's ever had. So we need to get things in perspective. I don't think everything in the past was always better. I think we have these rose-tinted spectacles and we're still saying the same things today as we were 60 years ago.
I think he's right. Charles Gard there talking to Phil Gorn. You can find a link to Charles's latest video on the Manx Radio Facebook page and website. 12 minutes past five. Now, after the former UK Prime Minister David Cameron revealed he'd been treated for the disease over the weekend, Prostate Cancer UK says visits to its online risk-checking tool have increased by more than 620%. But what screening tests are currently available and how effective are they? Well, Siobhan has been talking to Chair of the Isle of Man Anti-Cancer Association and former surgeon Malcolm Clegg.
Slight problem with the present test, the PSA test. PSA stands for prostate specific antigen, which is produced by the normal prostate but can be produced in large amounts by tumours in the prostate. It is not really specific enough to act as a general screening test across the whole of the male population. If you take breast screening, for example, a lady has a mammogram and an abnormality is shown up on the mammogram. 9 out of 10 times that abnormality is going to be benign. Only 1 in 10 will actually have a tumour. But the additional investigations between the first screen and the ruling out a tumour are not too unpleasant, if you like. If you go back to COVID, for example, when COVID first came around, we had testing kits. Mm-hmm. So when you develop flu-like symptoms, you took a swab from your mouth or up your nose, you put on a thing and you waited, I can't remember now, 2 minutes or
not
whatever
long,
to see,
yeah,
if
yeah.
see if the thing went past the red line.
Yeah.
If it was negative, you didn't have COVID. If it was positive, you had COVID. You can imagine if you had a screening test there that only 10% of the time that the test showed positive that you actually had COVID and 90% of the time you didn't. You know, you're looking for a test that's highly predictable. The worst thing is, of course, is if it shows that you're negative and you still have an abnormality. So you don't want to miss things.
Are there any testing options coming forward that look exciting, look kind of a bit more promising?
The one that I'm very enthused about is there was a trial carried out in America with 35,000 participants on a blood test. One blood test was taken and that was then analysed to find fragments of DNA that originated from tumours. They can test for 50 different cancers on one blood sample. if the test is negative, you've only got a 1 in 200 chance of having a tumour. The test is positive, it's almost 50-50 that you're going to have a tumour. And more to the point is that 80% of the time they can spot from that test where the tumour is likely to be.
That is Chair of the Isle of Man Anti-Cancer Association, Malcolm Clegg, talking to Siobhan there. So following that study he was talking about in America, apparently there are currently 150,000 people in the UK going through that testing programme, and the results are expected sometime next year.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
So the road in Oncombe between Whitebridge and King Edward Road was shut for a short time earlier. That has fully now reopened. Other than that, in Oncombe, Blackberry Lane still currently one way from Governor's Road down to Summer Hill. Also, there are temporary lights in King Edward Road between Growdle and the Old Liverpool Arms. And in Braddon, still those temporary lights on Saddle Road. All OK down at the airport, and the maximum due into Douglas at around about 20 to 6, heading out for Heysham at 7:15.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's just gone 5:15. So is it possible to stop people posting anonymous and on occasion deeply offensive remarks about people online? Well, those who are in the public eye can be targets for such behaviour, and it is something the UK communications regulator is apparently going to try and crack down on. But how much of a problem is it over here? Here's John Moss.
The Water Ofcom is looking at introducing new regulations to restrict hate speech, particularly against women, limit comments. But is it possible? Will there always be people like that out there who enjoy the anonymous, unattributable power the internet gives them? Politicians on this island are, of course, targets. But how much so? Claire Christian is Health Minister.
I think it's important to say that people have obviously got some very strong opinions. And I do get emails and messages on social media from people who have very strong opinions about the state of our island as a whole.
Some remarks must obviously be because you're a woman politician, I would imagine.
I mean, I have seen over the 5 years I've been a politician, even when I kind of think about when I've been interviewed in the past. I remember on Tymwell Day, my very first Tymwell Day, the conversation was about what I wore as opposed to what my policies were. So, you know, I can kind of think that obviously it's really important that what we do look at when we're talking to politicians or anybody. I think this is really more about sports people, you know, what's going on in the UK, is we talk about their sport and what they're doing, and we talk about the policies as opposed to them being female or male.
What's your reaction if you get something like that? Are you offended? Are you hurt?
First and foremost, I try to ignore it. That's what you have to do, and you have to get on with the job, and you have to get on with your day-to-day work. That's my priority to my constituents, because I'm Minister of Health and Social Care. So if people want to contact me directly about things, then that's where I will speak to them and will address it. But on social media, I will ignore any sort of negative comments that are directed at me.
But is policing it, if I can put it that way, possible? Can you stop people?
Well, that's for the authorities
to decide.
To work out. I completely agree in that if, for example, a social media platform puts in certain algorithms to stop these sort of, you know, whether it's against women or against sports personalities and things like that, then if they're able to do that, then, you know, that has to be agreed.
That's the Health Minister Claire Christian talking to John Moss, coming up to 5:18. Well, an Isle of Man resident and Indiana Jones and Lord of the Rings actor has been honoured with a silver star on Almeria's Walk of Fame. It happened over the weekend. John Rhys-Davies unveiled the award in the same city where he used to shoot scenes for Indiana Jones, and he joins others of fame such as Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sophia Loren. Mr. Rhys-Davies told us what it was like to receive this accolade.
I've received a number of honours in my life. The one thing that you have to remember is that star is there because an audience was once there and still is there. It's about the customer. If you look after the audience, one day the audience will look after you. And the marvellous thing about going to a fan convention is you slowly realise how important your performance in a play like Lord of the Rings or something like that has become. Lord of the Rings is one of those pieces that some people sat through with a dying grandfather or a dying mother and watched and watched. They laughed and cried and wept at these points. And when they see you in real life, they want to weep again. It's so emotional sometimes. I look back on my life, and I don't really like the younger me, because I don't think the younger me liked people. The older me has learned to love people. It's such a delight to meet the people who put the bread and butter on your plate for 50, 60 years and look them in the eye and laugh with them. It's a very privileged life. So the answer to your question, and I always try to avoid answering questions, when you pull that star back and you see it, you think, thank you, all you people, the actors who put up with you, the money people who thought, oh, God, I better employ him. It might make the film work. And especially all those people who actually came and saw the film and thought, oh, that's interesting, or, oh, that's good.
Isn't that lovely? John Rhys-Davies there talking about the honour that he received at the weekend. You can hear much more on the Manx Radio website. OK, so it's 20 past five and the Manx pro boxer and WBC champion Sam Rennie will be looking to extend his unbeaten pro record win when he returns to the ring in Australia tomorrow. The island-born fighter will face experienced opponent Rivo Renkung, and while his title is not on the line, the Manxman is approaching this with a must-win attitude.
So this will be my sixth fight in 12 months. So one of the most active fighters in boxing at the minute. I was supposed to be fighting a few different opponents, which some fell short and couldn't get past negotiations. And then I had a lad pull out, so we had to get a last minute replacement. So we're now fighting a bit of a veteran in the sport. He's 81 fights deep into his career, still with a winning record and still coming off a win in his latest fight as well. So that's the next test and the last one for the year as well.
When you're coming up against someone as experienced as that, how different is that compared to what you faced already?
Yeah, I think you'll have a few tricks up the sleeve, but I've got some up my sleeve as well. He's been around, this lad. He actually seems quite a funny bloke. I'm looking forward to chatting to him after the fight. Do you know what I mean? I bet he's got a few stories to tell. You just have to take it as it is. Every fight's a tough fight when you get to this point in your career. So I've just got to go in and do the job on him.
How important is it that you're not complacent in any way? Although your title isn't on the line, there's still plenty on the line.
Yeah. Well, I was supposed to be fighting for a title, for the Western Australia title against a local boy, but you never really fancied taking that fight. I won't get too much into the details. And then we were looking at a former champion defending the belt against him, but then that fell through. He had an accident. So yeah, it was a bit of a, you know, it was a bit frustrating at the time, but it's just one of them. Every fight, you have to treat it like a title fight, and every fight is a must win.
Obviously, you're out there to win. That is a given. But after this, are you already looking a little bit towards 2026, or are you just not looking any further beyond the now?
No, I definitely do. I know people say you shouldn't look past your opponent, and I don't look past them, but I do like to have an idea of what's in the future. I want to be back out in March next year, and I want to be chasing down titles and good domestic fights and good money fights too. You know, there's talks of fighting in Japan. There's been talks of that for a while now, so I'd love to get out to Japan. And then I was only on the phone to my brother the other day, still talking about getting a fight in the Isle of Man, so that's still on the cards as well.
Sam Rennie there. That fight will be part of the Thunderdome 52 event in Northbridge, which gets underway tomorrow from 10 a.m. UK time. Now, the Manx Grand Prix competitor Harley Rushton admits he's been bitten by the bug of racing on the Isle of Man since his Snaefell Mountain Course debut last year. He's been talking on the Journey to a Dream podcast about winning in his maiden appearance at the event in 2024, and also about what he's learned about how much preparation has to go into taking part.
I remember being that little seven-year-old boy in the hedgerows watching the classic racing around the Isle of Man going, like, you listen on the Manx radio presentation and like all the national anthems going off on the boat, and I'm like, oh, one day it'd be nice for that to be me. And then for it to happen on my first ever time on the mountain course, and just to see the raw emotion. And like I said, I wasn't riding Ted Wolf's bikes at the event, but just to see him, he'd been there as part of my journey, and he came over and congratulated me, and could see that he knew that he'd been a part of all that. And it was just, it was overwhelming. It was really was overwhelming. I even when I got home, I still didn't realise it's setting.
All attention looks to 2026. Have you sorted out what you're doing next year yet?
Yeah, we made a plan. We've already said we're going to come back next year. He's got a 636 Kawasaki, and we're going to come back and do the Super Sport and Senior Manx Grand Prix. That's setting stone as a plan. We're going to do the same as we did this year in 24, make sure we have a proper testing schedule, get me up to speed on the bike, comfortable on the bike before we head off down Bray Hill. But the Super Twin side of things was still unknown. Feels like I'm a bit of a broken record going into the winter again, putting that plea out there for someone to just sort of offer a bike for me to race next year at the Manx Grand Prix.
What would be the one thing that you wish you'd known at that point before you knew you had that entry?
That's a tough question, that. Doesn't matter how much you think, it won't consume your entire life. Believe me, it consumes your entire life for 3 to 4 months around the Manx Grand Prix in August. I thought, I've got the right people alongside me. I've got the bikes there. They're all built, ready to go. And I went, it'd be fine. People said, no, your world will become the Manx Grand Prix in the Isle of Man. And I'm like, no, it won't. Trust me, it does.
That is Harley Rushton. You can hear the full interview on Journey to a Dream, which is available on the Manx Radio Motorsport website and also manxradio.com as well. Sport time now with Rob. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
Looking at the sport then, we're going to start with hockey because Manx hockey player Sienna Dunn has been named as captain of the England under-21s team heading to this year's Junior Women's World Cup. The former Valkyries player is one of 18 competitors that will represent the national side at this year's championships, which are taking place in Santiago, Chile, from the 1st to the 13th of December. Dunn was also part of the England squad, which finished 4th at the previous edition of the tournament in 2023 in the same country. Well, England will compete in Pool D with South Africa, China and Austria, with England's first match being against China next Tuesday at 2:15pm UK time. In total, the competition will be made up of 24 national teams across six pools. Well, Dunn, who was also crowned Isle of Man Under-21 Sportswoman of the Year for 2023, has risen steadily through the national team setup, having also in recent years played for and captained the England Under-18s. In football, one of the Isle of Man's ladies squads is keen to attract new players. Union Mills Ladies is welcoming new additions, new or experienced in the sport, to join the club, whether that's to play competitively or find a new social activity. Anyone interested in finding out more details is invited to get in touch with the club, with training sessions taking place on Thursdays between 5:45pm and 7pm at Project 21 in Douglas. Well, Union Mills was one of two clubs to join the Canada Life Women's League this season, along with Russian United. And in motorsport, there's been success in Europe for one of the Isle of Man's young motocross competitors. Torin Lennon has been crowned a champion of his class in the provincial MX Trophy Cordoba in Spain following the latest round last weekend. On his way to victory across four rounds, he took two first place finishes in Heat 1, first and second place in Heat 2, a win and a DNF in Heat 3 before another first and second place finish in Heat 4. Already this year, Lennon has impressed elsewhere with wins and a number of impressive performances in the MX 50 class in the FAM Andalusian Motocross Championship.
See, a question I've never asked you, Rob. Motocross, have you ever tried it?
No, I haven't, but obviously there are opportunities aplenty here on the island, aren't there, if I did choose to go down that route. Got no plans to at the moment.
Okay, would it just be motor angry? No, forget it. It was supposed to be funny, it wasn't. That is all from Update this evening. Thank you so much for your company as ever. You can find out more about all tonight's top stories on the Manx Radio website. Coming up next is Shaq Lair with Marilyn Crellin. At 6, it's Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley. At 9, A Little Light Music with Maurice Powell. Then Rhiann will be with you with After Hours from 10. So whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one. We'll talk to you at the same time tomorrow. We'll